Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful again to be found in thy holy presence and to be able to sit and listen to thy words read and spoken. We trust, Lord, that there would be those in our midst that would trust thee at this particular time if they've never done so as yet. And that, Lord, if we have those who have grown cold in heart, that we'll be able to wash their feet with the word of God and restore them. We just continue to give thee thanks and bless wherever the word of God is preached. Use your servants in a mighty way. Again, we pray thee for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us turn back to the book of Habakkuk and see what the Spirit of God will show to us further. We're going to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk. Very relevant book for our times and all the injustice that we see in Habakkuk's time and our time, chapter 3, if you have found it, chapter 3 of Habakkuk, chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionot. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Don't forget that I told you in chapter 3, this is the triumph of faith, where we see demonstrated by the prophet Habakkuk. His name means embrace, where he embraces the word of God. It's always a pleasure to embrace God's precious word, as well as to embrace one another in Christian love. We see that through the scriptures. We see Jacob embracing those children of Joseph. We see Esau and Jacob embracing one another. It's a wonderful thing to be able to embrace God's people, to show that sweet fellowship and relationship. And so we notice where this prophet, he accepted the will of God. He embraces God's will irrespective of the nature of things that were presently existing during his time. And so it is. We ought to embrace God's precious words as we look and see the existing trend of things in our society, not only in the world, but where we live. And what is the answer? What answer can we get from God? Because you would notice in the book of Habakkuk that he never take no for an answer from God. He continues to cry out to God Almighty. He never gave up. We cannot give up. We have got to continue to cry out to our God. He wants us to do that. He wants to test our patience, endurance. And you know, patience, of course, is a virtue. It's a virtue that we all need to exercise. There are times when we lose patience. We do. It is our nature. Don't tell me you don't lose your patience at times, because we haven't our new bodies as yet. And the old sinful nature is not eradicated as yet. That is done so at death. So we have that. All we've got to do is to keep it dead, since Jesus has already killed it on the cross of Calvary. And so patience, endurance is so necessary and needed. And so we find in verses 17 and 18 where the prophet Habakkuk declare the love for God. He was a devoted believer, a consecrated believer. And it is based on what he expects God to give him, even if it causes him suffering and loss. He declares he will still rejoice in the God of his salvation. And of course, here we find one of the strongest manifestations of the faith of a man of God in Scripture. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 shows us the faith worthies. All these Old Testament believers who were men of tremendous faith. Faith that activates. And it is so important that we activate faith every day as we live. But you know something, my beloved brothers and sisters? We see here in his prayer in chapter 3 something marvelous. We see where God removed his misery into music. That's how God does it. He gives us misery at times, and then afterwards, he gives us music and melody. And you know something? Habakkuk was a Levite who had what we call a stringed instrument, says the word of God, to the chief singer on my string instrument. So, of course, this prophet was a Levite and a musician. And it's good to be a musician for God. It's good to sing for God Almighty. It's wonderful. You know, I used to say to myself before I got saved that I was going to be a calypso singer and a dancer, going through the world. I never thought that God would stop me at the age of 18. Just when I was about to embark on the stage, the bigger stage, and sing. I used to write my songs and gain my tunes, my own tunes. And I wanted to go through the Caribbean, the world, dancing and singing. But God stopped me and said, I want you to sing for me. I want you to serve me. And so we never know what God would do for us. Here, this man was chosen by the Lord to be the witness for the blessing of his people. But we notice that the refusal of his message changed the character of the message to a warning to the people of Judah, because the court was depraved. The court during those days was depraved, but they kept up an outward religious form, just as we see it today in the land of America, where we live, where the court is depraved at times in their decision, and then show off an outward religious, hypocritical attitude. That's how God shows us here in the days of Habakkuk. And so it is today. We must not soft soap anything at all when it comes to the word of God. Let's say it as God shows us. And then we notice that the elders, the leaders, they were dissolute. They were immoral. And so we see today in our leaders, some of them are immoral. And God is showing you and I this, because God wants us to represent him and to be fearless men and women of God. I'm giving you a picture of what we see in Habakkuk and what we're seeing today. And you tell me when I get off the platform if I'm wrong or I'm right. And then I'll show you. But that's how God opened up our eyes, because he wants us to reach these same men with the word of God, that they may be changed. God wants to save them, as he saved you and I. The people, they were deceived by intrigue. And we see today, blight had gripped the moral life, and vice pushing up its ugly head unblushingly. Look at it today in our land. And so the prophet, in his distress, he sought the Lord for help. He had a strong embrace, as his name means. These men of God in the Bible days, read the Bible closely, and you would see there were no nonsense men. They stood up for God. No matter what you do to them, they suffered because they were on God's side. They were reproached because they stood up for God. We've got to take a definite stand for our God, my dear brothers and sisters. We want people saved. We want people to go to heaven. And we have to embrace the word of God. We have to embrace the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It brings power. The gospel is very, very powerful. The gospel is penetrative. And the gospel's breakthrough. The gospel is like fire. It burns. The gospel is like a hammer. It pounds. These prophets, they stood their grounds, and God blessed them tremendously because they embrace the word of God. Wherever God has called you, you can spread that word by your life, by your lip, by your walk, by your talk. You've got to get the gospel out. The church can turn America upside down today because the church has power. The church turned Rome upside down. The first century believers, they stood their grounds for God. They suffered just like their Lord, who suffered the agonies of a brutal cross, but triumphed over the forces of evil. And we can triumph over the forces of evil. We are going to suffer if we take a genuine stand for our God. If we stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross, we can make a difference in America. All we've got to do is make sacrifices. And the prophet did. So his anxiety was allayed, and his fears were stilled by God Almighty. He heard the voice of God. He believed and rejoiced. He saw the impending doom, but he also saw the new dawn with its radiant glory. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, says Habakkuk 2:14. Ah, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God ministered grace to the people in the Old Testament days. He's still ministering grace today in New Testament days. A fuller grace. Thank God that mercy is his majesty. He says, I will have mercy, praise the Lord, more than sacrifice. Thank God for showing all of us mercy. He's showing America mercy. He's showing the leaders mercy. He's showing the world mercy. Thank God he's in charge of this world. He's still in charge of America. Oh yes, he's still. America is a blessed nation by God. But America as a nation has turned away from God, as you and I see. And if God judge the Moabites, the Philistines, the Babylonians, the Ammonites, if God judge King Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, if God judge Nebuchadnezzar, if God judge all of these fellows, King Ahasuerus, if God judge Tiglath-Pileser, God is going to judge the nations here of the world. Oh yes, take a long, hard look at your nation. Take God seriously, very seriously, for God is no respecter of persons or faces. But behind this gloomy and doomy atmosphere, there's a brightness, thank God, because of his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the effulgence, the brightness of God's glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all of creation. Take your focus back to Jesus Christ. He's a hope to hearten, a goal to gladden. Praise God. We are looking forward for the dawn of that glorious day, irradiating the mind with the glory of truth in which no fear can live, shedding to the soul a cordial of immortal strength, the charm omnipotent against all of our foes. Blessed be God, he surmounts when everything else decayable is submerged. Blessed be God, his perfections cannot perish. Look to Jesus Christ again. This is exactly what this prophet has done. The prophet Habakkuk. Blessed be God. You and I can enter into the triumphs of that which our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, there are green pastures beneath and still waters beside, a table before the house of the Lord, beyond. Yes, we are looking to go beyond there. If you and I needs company, he leads to its requirement. When sorrow surges around, he truly comforts. When weariness enthralls, he ministers refreshment. My dear brothers and sisters, he would not accept us and then reject us. He will not choose us and then refuse us. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Saviorhood is his scepter. And we bless God that he came to save. And he's still saving people today. And oh, we thank God that he's indeed the Lord of life. He triumphs over death. His love and will conquer hate. His light and dispels darkness. Yes, these problems, that challenges still rise, but he's sufficient and he will surely sustain. This man received a vision, Habakkuk, from God Almighty. And we've got to comprehend the vision. God has given us the vision here. And so we need to commit ourselves to that vision and to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Where the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. The Lord is my helper. The joy of the Lord is my strength, says Nehemiah. In the next few minutes before we hit 11 o'clock, I want you and I to look at revival in the Bible. We find revival in the Bible under Josiah, King Josiah. He cleaned up the land of idolatry. He burned all of these idols. And the word of God was read. And all the people repented. And blessed be God, they returned to God. They were restored to God. They were revived to God. We need revival for survival, reinvigoration. We need renewing, the renewing of the mind, the spirit of the mind, so that the mind can be mindful. Mind the mind, so that the mind can be mindful. For we have the mind of Christ, says the word of God. It is so important, my beloved, that we are revived today. Our assemblies, I can tell you this, our assemblies needs revival. As we visit so many of the assemblies all across London and Essex and other places, even in France also, our assemblies need reviving all through the Caribbean. Caribbean people used to love to go to Sunday school. No more. The American lifestyle has touched the Caribbean. Our assemblies needs to be revived. Yes, as you get the vision, God gives you the vision, he shows you the vision. Just like he shows Habakkuk the vision. Habakkuk cried out, I need this work to be revived. We see that in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Blessed be God. Here was a man whose heart was bare before God. The king's cupbearer who entered into the presence of the king looking sad. And the king asked him, why are you looking so sad? And he poured out the burden of his heart. Yes, if we keep our focus, God gives us a burden. God will give you a burden. God will give me a burden. The burden of our hearts. And the king gave him permission. He told the king that conditions were bad among his people in the land. He wanted to go back and build back the walls of Jerusalem and the gates. Yes, we've got to build back those broken down walls and gates with the word of God. We've got to know doctrine. We've got to know what we learn about God. And you know what this man Habakkuk learned about God? The prophecy reminds us of the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the greatness of God. All of this is seen here in chapter 1, 12, and 13. The holiness of God. In chapter 1, the righteousness of God. In chapter 3, the greatness of our God. And you and I, we need to see this in our reviving. Oh yes, thank God for revival. There was revival in the days of Hezekiah likewise. Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, he shut the house of the Lord. How are you going to close the doors of God's house? He needs it opened. It is God who opens the door, and no man ought to shut it to the church at Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. And when Hezekiah saw all this, see, blessed be God, God used him mightily to revive Judah again and to open up the house of the Lord, because it is when we come to the house of the Lord that God gives us answers. Lord, my daughter, she's still not there as yet. She's not doing anything outlandish, but still, Lord, she's not there as yet. Lord, my son, I need to see my son become more devoted, more in touch with God. But he's not doing anything outlandish, Lord, but he's still not there. You see, these are some of the burdens that surely comes your way and our way likewise. And we have got to exercise tremendous faith. This was seen in Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. The emphasis there is the just. And we are seeing it in Galatians 3:11, where again we walk by faith, not by sight. The emphasis there is faith. And then we see in Hebrews 10:38, where again the just shall live by faith. The emphasis there is live. And we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, no, but of those to the believing of our souls. So day by day, we live by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are a faith people. Praise God that this is what we are instructed as the principle of Christian living. And therefore, we appreciate that which God has been doing in our lives and in our land. Of course, we notice, my beloved, that when Habakkuk was informed by God that he was going to send the Babylonians to judge and discipline Judah, it was something that Habakkuk had found very difficult to appreciate and understand. And we too, oftentimes, we cannot understand some of the circumstances that God shows us and confronts us. It's difficult to interpret. We can't really interpret God. We can't understand God at all. But our faith is tried. And it is more precious than gold. And it comes out purified, justified, glorified. That's the kind of faith that God has given to us. And so all through the scriptures, we see revival. We see revival in the days of Haggai likewise. It's wonderful to see. And God says, listen, Haggai, tell the people, if you are interested in your proper furnished places and so forth, don't forget my place. I need you to build my place as a habitation. And the church, blessed be God, is God's habitation, God's building. And the pillar of truth is found in the church. And we bless God that the church continue to survive. The gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. Never. So there is a great need for revival. Let me read a passage with you before I close off. In 2 Chronicles, you see, once we use the Bible, we can't go wrong because it is where we find the word of God. And God apologizes to no one. No one. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we read, and the Lord, verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, these are some of the prerequisites now for revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. First of all, we've got to be a humble people if we need to see revival. We've got to confess our sins to our God. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, and pray. In our praying, we've got to repent. All these Old Testament prophets, where we see revival was engaged, they repented. They repented to God Almighty. Repentance is moving away from God's thoughts and returning back to God himself. You make a right about turn. There must be a removing away first before you can repent. And then when you acknowledge it, you repent. That is exactly what the prodigal son did. He came to himself. When you come to yourself, it shows that God can still reach you. You're not beyond reproach. But you can pray. You've got to pray to God. And then you've got to remember your prayer meetings. You've got to live a life of prayer as a petition. But then it says, and seek my face. Now praying and seeking my face, they are two different things altogether. When we pray, we are petitioning God Almighty. But when we seek his face, we are staying in fellowship with him so that there might be meditation with him, devotion with him, chewing the cud, the meaning of the word meditation, chewing the cud like the cow keep chewing his cud. We ought to keep chewing the cud. There must be meditation. He came down in the garden to seek Adam and Eve, and you notice he could not find them. He used to find them. He came down every day to have Bible study with them and to remind them of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not to eat of it. He didn't tell them not to touch it. That's what Eve said. But she was wrong. He said, don't eat of it. And he couldn't find them on this day. Sometimes, listen to me now, beloved. I have noticed in some of our assemblies today that there are those who are in church bodily, but the spirit is far from God Almighty. Some of the Lord's people, I notice they're up and are gone. Apart from if you have to work, that's different. But this is what I notice. Some of God's people are so busy that there's no time for God. Like Martha, she was very busy. But Mary, she was doing the right thing. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was gleaning. And Martha, She was quarreling. Jesus says, Martha, no. Don't quarrel. Mary has taken that better place. And she won't be moved from it. What I'm saying, it's good to be in the house of the Lord when the Lord gives us the opportunity to come. We may not always be able to come. We may be sick. We may not always be able to come or working. But when we come, I've noticed this in a lot of our assemblies, where people get up as soon as the preacher gets on the platform and they're gone. And yet, when you look around, they're still at the end, they're still in the house of the Lord. So you see, that's why God sent back Habakkuk to the watchtower to watch and to wait for an answer. Most of the times, we get our answers from God when we are in the house of the Lord. And so I hope you understand me very, very clearly, that there's a difference between praying and seeking. For we need to seek God's face more often. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. I will heal your land. These are some of the prerequisites for revival. And I know that there are those of God's people, and they're burdened just like me, just like my dear wife, that they want to see God's people more often in the house of the Lord and exercising active faith. But are we speaking to anyone in our midst this morning that needs Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior? Or are you a backslider that needs to return back to God? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, heal their land. Oh yes. Is there anyone here that needs to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior? Surely you can let us know. Sometimes we ask for hand showing. I don't always do that. Most of the time I say, sit down where you are and call us to your side that we can help. But we praise God for the word of God today. If none of you have ever purchased none of my books, I have books. I am a writer. Head Start in the Christian Olympics. I have another one, hopefully by the grace of God, to get it printed. But I've written two of them already. This is how we invest in the will of the Lord under the grace of God. We are writing for our assemblies and others likewise who have purchased some of our books. We even have the Seventh-day Adventist people in St. Thomas purchased my book, because they listened to me on radio over the years. And so praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for speaking to us again to the book of Habakkuk. And cause us to embrace the word of God. And cause our tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body, all of it, to be in the house of the Lord when we come. And that, Lord, we do not try to distract one another as we sit and listen to our God. We praise the Lord. Amen.